Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains in the Missouri Ozarks on Tuesday, the 24th day of July, year of our Lord, 2012. Welcome to the John Moore Show. I do expect a call from one of my sources in Colorado this morning. Apparently, he hasn't called yet. I hope he does soon. It is 71 degrees here deep in the mountains of Missouri Ozarks. We're on our way to a high of 103 degrees today with high humidity. There's another article at Steve Quayle's website that I think is important. I have some personal involvement with this. Current Russian events in Colorado. The article is written by somebody I know. I'm not sure how public they want to be, so I won't mention this person at all, except I've been corresponding with this person for, I guess, 2 to 3 years now. And we developed a relationship these last 2 to 3 years. And I've grown to, we've grown to know each other and trust each other. And it involves the Russian presence, Russian military presence in the United States, specifically in Colorado. We started getting these reports in April, late in April, mid to late April, about Russians coming into the Denver airport to do a training exercise. And then this expanded to learn that the Russian military, the Spetsnaz, were coming into Fort Carson, Colorado, as part of a permanent party situation where they would be there indefinitely. So I think that's another article I would urge you to read as well. As many of you know, tomorrow morning, my guest will be Mike Harris. Mike follows me here on Republic Broadcasting every day, Monday through Friday. We'll be talking about his two sources and my two sources, all four of which are in agreement that something major is soon to happen. One of those sources, one of Mike's, does give specific dates. The other three sources do not give specific dates. Giving dates is a very dangerous thing and something I'm very reluctant to do on one hand. On the other, when it comes from a trusted private source like Mike Harris has, a trusted private source who is well placed to know the real deal, I feel obligated to make those dates public. The two dates are August 17th and September 26th. August 17th being the date of the closest passage of Nibiru, Planet X Wormwood, to Earth going into our solar system. And September 26th, the closest passage to Earth leaving our solar system. It's dangerous territory for any journalist to get into. And here's the quandary, and I've said this before, but it's so important I need to say it again. If I don't give out these dates and the worst thing happens, I'll feel personally responsible for not putting out the warning and not being able to save the lives that could be saved. If I put out the warning and nothing happens, then I've got to deal with the consequences of that. Which is why I urge people to make their own decisions. I'm not telling you or urging you to do anything except make prudent preparations. Make prudent preparations, whatever that is for you, whatever is prudent for you. It's going to be different things for different people. For some, it's going to be buying a couple of canteens and a sleeping bag, maybe. For others, it might be spending tens of thousands of dollars to make more extensive preparations, and a lot of people in between. So do what you think you need to do. That's your choice. And that's, I'm trying to carry out my responsibility to the best of my ability to be the watchman on the wall. If I come across intelligence of this nature that has the ring of truth to it because of who's saying it and what's being said, then I feel compelled to put that out there. Your obligation is to take it in, evaluate it, and make your decision about what you're going to do. I am taking personal action based on this information, filling in some of the empty spaces in my preparations that have been not met and need to be met. I've talked to my daughter and her husband about this, and they are on standby to do what they need to do to protect their children and themselves. I had a short conversation with a gentleman last night who has adult children, and he's making sure that they're safe and that he and everybody has a plan. It's always good to have a backup on the backup. You know, a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. That's always good. That's always prudent, regardless of whatever the endeavor might be. I expect that if there is an event on August 17th, that the several days, perhaps 5 to 7 days before August 17th, we would probably see a dramatic, scary increase in earthquakes and volcanoes and bizarre, crazy, dangerous weather events. That's my expectation based on what I know about these matters. Now, that could be wrong also. We might get up to the 17th and have no dramatic increase in these matters. That's possible also. Closest passage of Nibiru has a range of possibilities. This planet has been going through this cycle about every 3,600 years for, well, we don't know for how long. Four cycles ago, about 12,000 years ago, our ancestors had the ability to split the atom, space flight, to produce genetically modified foods. Or still one that you can buy at your local grocery store, a genetically modified grain that dates back to that period, that time frame. It's called spelt. Spelt is not a naturally occurring grain. Spelt in its current form, we have records of spelt in its current form going back 6,000 years. Spelt, however, is a genetically modified organism. And one of the unique properties of it is it's radiation resistant. So that's four cycles ago. Two of the last two cycles are recorded in the Bible. The most recent one being 3,600 years ago when Moses was leaving Egypt, the Exodus, and about 7,200 years ago, Noah's flood, the great flood. Which, by the way, it's one of the most documented ancient events that there is. Every culture on earth has either a written record or oral tradition of the Great Flood. The range of possibilities is on the small side, basically what happened 3,600 years ago. The events of what happened during the Moses Exodus were recorded in written records, not just by the Hebrews in the Sinai Desert, but also by the people living in South America, in what's now Scandinavia, and what's now China. All those peoples had written records, and they had calendars. When Moses saw the Nile River turn red, he turned to the scribes and said, "This is pretty important, guys. Write it down." So they left a written record of the River Nile turning red. And so did the scribes in South America, the scribes in Scandinavia, and the scribes in China. All left written records on the same date in history. When the Hebrews were walking through the Sinai Desert, kind of lost because they didn't have maps and compasses. And they were hungry. They needed something to eat. And every morning there was this brown sticky, good-tasting sweet substance that they could pick up and eat, that manna from heaven. This is important stuff, Moses said. He told the scribes, write this down, make a written record of this. We're being fed when we need food. Manna from heaven. The scribes in South America recorded the same looking and same tasting substance on the ground every morning. The scribes in Scandinavia recorded the same event, and the scribes in China recorded the same event. Probably hydrocarbons in the air that condensed into cool air, night air, and fell to the ground you could pick up and eat. Another effect of the 10th planet. Now, what I'm describing there is pretty minor compared to what happened 12,000 years ago, which was probably a violent pole shift and 200-mile-an-hour winds, 9 and 10-point earthquakes, basically killing almost all the human beings on the planet and wiping out the high level of technology that existed at that time. That's what happened 12,000 years ago. So that's the range of possibilities. I hope and pray that we get the lesser of those, obviously. Nothing like 200-mile-an-hour winds to ruin your whole day, and 9 and 10-point earthquakes to ruin your whole day. How bad will it get? I don't know. How bad is the government prepared to deal with? They're prepared to deal with their worst-case scenario. That's why they built those deep underground bases beginning in 1979. Nibiru, Planet X, Wormwood is real. It is just as real can be. Don't fool yourself. I was first approached by two friends of mine individually. One didn't know the other was approaching me in the early spring of 2000. That's 12 years ago. Tell me about this event that would happen in the future involving Planet X. And I thought, boy, you guys need tinfoil hats really bad. But they're both good men. They're good researchers. And I approached a friend of mine who's connected to the lettered agencies. And I said, can you check this out? It's really strange, but these guys are pretty reliable. And my friend, he thought I needed a tinfoil hat also, but he agreed to check it out. He gets back with me about 4 weeks later. He says, John, it's exactly what you said it is. The government's known about this since 1979. They've been getting ready for it since 1979. Yes, it is real. And once I got that confirmation, I began my work and my research in the spring of 2000. Things go along pretty good. I'm learning a lot to the point where in January 2005, I did a nationwide speaking tour on behalf of the Prophecy Club on this matter. The work product from that is a DVD at my website, Signs in the Sun, Moon, and Stars. I continued my work, and in August of 2005, the floodgates opened when I had lunch with a friend I served with in U.S. Army Special Forces, who is also a Navy veteran. And he starts telling me about a classified briefing that he attended in 1985. At that classified briefing, he was told that the following. Gentlemen, during your lifetimes, all coastal areas of all continents will be massively flooded. They were told that this will happen in their lifetimes, and that two of the known safe havens in North America was the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks and the border region of Wyoming and Montana, which is way too close to Yellowstone to suit me, but that's what they were told. They weren't told why this would happen. They weren't even told exactly how it would happen, where that water was going to come from. It took me a good 2 years to figure that out. It turns out it's common knowledge in every university that teaches these ocean-related topics. There's a bulge of water at the equator, not quite 500 feet above what they call sea level measured at Cornwall, England. That bulge of water extends more than 1,000 miles north and south of the equator, a massive bulge of tens of thousands of cubic miles of water held in place by gravity and the rotation of the Earth. Anything that disrupts the rotation of the Earth is going to disrupt that water. And then it will, the technical term is slush. Since then, because I'm a fairly public person here in my community, I teach concealed carry classes, I've debriefed about 24 of these Navy veterans, all of whom tell precisely the same story about the classified briefings they attended. One of my listeners, he's up in Montana, he helped set up the briefing room in New Orleans, 1979, for flag rank officers. One of the first briefings given to the U.S. Navy. And he saw my map, the map that's on my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. He saw the map. He didn't know what it was. He was just a 25-year-old sailor setting up a briefing room. The lights, the tables, the chairs, the sound system, and so forth. They didn't, nobody told him what the map meant. He was outside the briefing room when it took place. His admirals show up, happy and smiling, smoking cigars and telling jokes. When they left the briefing room, they all looked like their puppy dogs had died. They just got the word that the world as we know it will end during their lifetimes. Not that the world will end, but the world as we know it will end. Big difference. Big difference. Of course, for many people, it will be the end of the world. The end of their lives, anyway. Because once our logistics and transportation systems and power grid goes down, people will die by the millions. All persons requiring pharmaceutical products to stay alive will be dead in 30 to 90 days. That's a big chunk of this population. 8% of the adults in this country alone are diabetic. How big is that number? I don't know. 15, 20, 25% of the people in this country require pharmaceutical products to stay alive? I don't know. We do.